This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the best show, it's the best show, it's the best show, it's the best show. It's the best show. It's Tuesday night, 9 p.m., time for the best show. It's the best show, it's the best show. AP Mike, Studio, Pat is here, and there'll be pizza, and it's the best show. Someone's on hold, you're gonna make your skin crawl. I already found out who they are. They fell asleep last week on the show. It's the... Yeah, it's the best show. What are we doing tonight? Big night tonight. Tonight is history in the making. That's right. It is the night of 1,000 pardos. And what does that mean? You, the best show listener, you call 201-332-3484. And you do your best Don Pardo impression announcing a guest or a host or a cast member or band on SNL. Could be real, could be fake. Whatever you want. I'm leaving that up to you. I want to see what you come up with. You know what? And you get one, you do one, and if I like it, you get to do another one. We'll see who strings the most together. What do you think about that, Mike? Mike left. Great. He'll be back when the pizza's here, I just found out. Where are these guys going? I don't know. But one thing I do know, the number is 201-332-3484. And we got all sorts of stuff lined up for you tonight. Get ready. It's best show time. And if you don't like it, you can jump in a lake. Because I'm telling you, I hear what some of these other podcasts do. And they can't even carry. I heard these things. Some of these guys are paralyzed with fear talking into the mic. Without six guests in front of them. Not this show, baby. I tell the guests, you get out. I was supposed to have a guest tonight. Didn't show. Canceled last night. Worked on it for 2 months. Canceled last night. You know what? You're out of here. You're not allowed in. Don't need you. You're slowing the thing down. You'll gum up the works. Who needs you? Because you know what? All I need, not unlike Bono, is this red guitar. Remember when he said that in that terrible movie? All I need is this red guitar. A red guitar? That's a stupid looking guitar. Why is it? Who wants a red guitar? What? No, I need nothing. I got a microphone. I got a phone line. I don't even need phones. We're doing that. I just need a microphone, baby. And that's all we need to get the show going. So let's get the show going. It's best show time. Here we go. Tom Joplin!
New Jersey,
show. What's up? How are you? My name's Tom. I'm the host of the show tonight. When we finish writing this email. There we go. Beep, boop, boop. Send. Now, I give my attention to you for 3 hours. What's up, everybody? It's the best show here on a Tuesday night as the month of July winds down in 2018. Up here in New Jersey, New York, it is swampy, right? You like it, Mike? It's like the bayou out there, right? Like we should be eating crawfish, right? Instead of ordering pizza tonight, we should be getting buckets of crawfish. Like, hey, Mike, get some crawfish tonight, right? Get some hot drawn butter. Is that what it is? Drawn butter? Is that what you put on that? What? I don't know. See, you were landlocked where you grew up, Jason Dudio. Out there in West Virginia. You were more akin to, more likely to eat possum or a mountain lion. But Mike and Pat, those are Jersey boys. They like a slice. I like a slice, too. Good old slice of CeCe's Pizza. That's real pizza. You know it's real pizza when you can fill in on a piece of paper what you want on a pizza, and they'll make one for you, and they'll make as many as you can eat while you're sitting there. And you don't have to pay any more for it. That's the number. What's up? We just heard from escapism. Now you're asking yourself, escapism? What's that? Well, I'm going to tell you. You know Ian Svenonius from Nation of Ulysses, one of the all-time great bands, Nation of Ulysses. Then he was in Makeup, another great band. Well, this is his solo thing. And he put an album out on Merge this year called Introduction to Escapism. And it is great. It's like suicide party rock, kind of like. The band Suicide. And we heard Rome Wasn't Burnt in a Day. Great song. Great album. Merge Records. Merge got a lot of things coming out, man. New Effed Up album coming out on Merge. New Swearing album on Merge. My boy Mike Kroll got a single coming out. My Charge, I call him. He doesn't respect me. I say that he'll say he, Mike Kroll will say respect me. I see it in his eyes. He doesn't respect me anymore. That's how as you see it. The guy moved on. He's passed. I'm small potatoes. That's fine. I'm Broadway Danny Rose up in this piece. They all pass me by. Right, Mike? Why are you agreeing with that, Mike? Mike, you're supposed to go, no, Tom, they don't. But they do. I'll take the honesty, Mike. I'll take the honesty. I'll take the hit. So tonight, this is what we're doing. Night of 1,000 Pardos. You all know Don Pardo, the guy who does who did the announcing on Saturday Night Live. where he'd be like, "It's Saturday Night Live," like that.
And
so everybody can pretty much do a Don Pardo impression. So you call in, you do it as if you can say as if somebody's a cast member, as if they're the musical guest or the host. And you could do real people that were in the cast. You can do them, but it's like, you know, I will say one thing. When you say Denny Dillon, and you're like, what a loser. It's like, yeah, she still was on SNL. What are you doing?
And your host, Brian Williams.
Remember when he hosted that windbag? That fabulous? The liar.
Oh, I didn't realize the story I told about being in a helicopter that was getting shot at wasn't real.
Not exactly the kind of things you get wrong when you...
Oh, did I say that happened to me? That I was in a helicopter getting shot at? Oh, it didn't.
What a clown. Got the nerve to put Lana Del Rey down. How dare you? How dare you? Her music just gets better and better. Maybe we won't do this thing, Don Pardo thing. We'll just play some Lana Del Rey tonight. Be great to get everybody here. Everybody comes in, and I got Mike and Pat and Jason sitting out there. And then meanwhile, I just play records. Right? Why not?
Feet don't fail me now. Get me to the finish line.
Brian Williams. So that's what you call. Back on point, Tom. Get back on the subject here at hand. The matter at hand. Night of 1,000 Pardos. And you do one, and then I'll see if you keep going. And if you do this, the first one well, I'll let you do a second one. Then you're just going to get. And you're just going to get the axe. But we'll see how long you can string them together. Who's good here, Mike? Are there any non-Don Pardo calls? Which line? Line 2. Best show, hi.
It's Saturday Night Live with your host, Tom Chaplin. I'm featuring AP Mike, Pat Byrne, Jason Gore, and the special guest performers, Frankie Cosmos, with the Saturday Night Band. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Chaplin!
See, now there you go. That's how we start this off. Thank you, Avalanche Bob.
How are you, Tom?
Oh, you're full of
I'm rocking, baby. How you doing?
You sound rested.
Yeah, things are going good, Tom.
Yeah, good. How'd the thing go? The song?
I think it's going to be Saturday night. I'm not sure of all the details. At a place called Wonders of Nature in Brooklyn.
Wonders of Nature? What's that?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure of all the details yet.
Yeah, well, so it's, but it's, what is it? Is it the interview or a movie?
It's a club.
A club.
We're doing a set.
You're doing a set. Wonders of Nature.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to send out AP Mike to that one. Mike?
The same guy had the case up.
Mike, you're going out. You got to go to Wonders of Nature, the cake shop, the former owner of the cake shop. You go there and check it out. Who else is on the bill, Avalanche Bob?
I think it was. I haven't got that name right now. It's two good.
Who cares?
Two groups. You can check it out. Yeah. Just go to Wonders of Nature, and you'll find the two groups. We weren't advertised because we were late booking.
Yeah. But you're going to steal the show. They don't know what they got. They don't know what's coming.
Tom, we're starting the Super Board Revolution, and I'm I'm telling you, Tom, there's no stopping this thing. It's going to be big. I think it's going to be as big as the WWE. It's going that big.
As big as the WWE.
And you're part of it, Tom.
And I'm a part of it, whether I want to be
you
or
certainly
not.
Certainly are. You and Kid Chris and all the people that have helped me.
I love it. I love it. I can't wait. I can't wait till we,
Yeah. Tom, thank you for everything.
Of course.
And I will talk to you. I don't want to hold you up.
Have
a great night.
Thank you. You have a great night, too. There we go. Avalanche Bob checking with maybe his best call. Maybe his best call to date. See? You never count anyone out. You don't count anyone out. They wrote this guy off, and then he came through with a good call. Well, not a good call, but on point. Yeah, that's right. I played. We started the show off with the start off this Mission Impossible thing. I can't wait. This Mission Impossible movie. I'm ready. I'm excited to see this. I watched all 5 Mission Impossible movies this past week, because I like those movies. Are they stupid? Yeah, of course they're stupid.
They're stupid.
Yeah, no, I know. What, you think I don't know that? They're good. All right, Night of a Thousand Pardos. Let's get it started. Here we go. Best Show, hi.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
So I've got a Pardo impression. What is the kind of procedure here?
What's your name?
Nick.
Nick, where are you calling from?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Nick from St. Paul, Minnesota. Let's hear it.
Ellen Cleghorn.
Okay. Go forward.
Come again?
You can do another.
Okay. Go, Piscopo!
All right, you're out of here. You lost it. Best Show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, I'm not comfortable with that overly familiar.
I'm sorry. Hi, it's Steven. I used to live in Chicago, but I don't live in Chicago anymore.
I know this guy. Where are you living these days? What are you riding the rails?
I'm living in with my bindle.
Yeah.
I'm in Oakland, California now.
Nice. And this is the guy who used to work at the the recording studio that poker dude runs.
Yes.
Poker House USA.
Poker House USA.
And he'd get like the microphone right up on the chips as he dropped them. Like,
yeah.
And
it sounds like the California split.
Yeah. Then he'd get the cards going. And he would still mix the vocals way down.
Yeah, totally. Still muffled. You got to get that rich, crisp card shuffle sound over vocals.
I'm talking about this guy, Steve, is a good guy. He helped the Best Show out with a lot of different things over the years, because he worked at the Steve Albini Sound Factory or whatever it was called.
Yeah, Sound Factory. That's it.
Right. And how was that? Is that as sad? Do you miss those days?
That's a no.
Stammering for 5 seconds. And it's not even a bad, you don't mean it as an insult. It's just that you were there and you did that. Now you're doing something else.
I was there for a really long time.
Yeah, so you moved on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now look at you, right? You're out there in Oakland.
Yeah.
You're out there in Oakland. What are you doing? You polishing MC Hammer's bowling alley?
I just moved here about 3 weeks ago, so I'm still getting my bearings and putting everything together and just getting acclimated to the city.
Pumps in a bump. Pumps in a bump. Remember when MC Hammer was like tough and suddenly he did that song Pumps in a Bump and the video was like sleazy? And when I was directing music videos, I pitched a few bands on an all-guy Pumps in a Bump shot-for-shot remake. No indie band would go along with it. I was like, let's do all-male Pumps in a Bump, greased-up guys partying with an indie rock band. And unsurprisingly, every indie rock band, not the video they wanted to make.
Well, had my dumb indie rock band stayed together and had the budget for you, we probably would have.
You could have done it. Yeah.
Probably would have gone for that idea.
Well,
yeah. Look,
so what do you
it's
got?
But.
Well, first of all, all the best to you and
yours in
Oakland.
Thank you.
So what do you got? What do you got? Get right to the meat of the matter here.
The Don Pardo impression.
Yes.
This has been a game with some friends back in Chicago. So to see this announced was very exciting. So I have one, and if it works,
don't equivocate. Don't equivocate. Just do it.
Okay. Musical guest, Millions of Dead Cops.
All right, keep going. Or is that it?
And your host, Kyrie Irving.
All right, you lost us on the Kyrie Irving. You got soft in the end. Goodbye.
Pumps in a bump. Pumps in a bump. Hey, we like to go.
Best show, hi.
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
It's going well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Nick in Austin.
Nick in Austin, what do you got here?
I got a Don Pardo for you. This is a name I've always wished he was able to do.
Let's hear it.
And your host, Armie Hammer!
Okay, you're out of here. A little too high-pitched. Pardo was never in a panic about things. That guy sounded like he was vaguely scared.
He would have said, and your host, Armie Hammer.
Yeah, but look, we'll find the balance. We'll find the balance. Right, Mike?
Hammer. Yo, G, beat this. 12 noon, Pumps in the Bumps affair. It's on, and it's all good.
Late. Best show, hi.
Hey, this is Jeremy calling from Los Angeles.
What's up, Jeremy? Well, what's up in Los Angeles tonight?
Just sweating. It's very hot.
It's hot? Well, why don't you heat it up even a little bit more with your Don Pardo?
Musical
guest, Tony.
That's very good. Very good. Now keep going.
And your host. Yahoo! Serious?
I don't know.
you should have said, first of all, you coughed, which Don Pardo would never cough. Actually, would have. toward the end of that guy's run, they were getting a little sloppy in there. Although nothing was as sloppy as, what's his face they got in there now? What's his name?
Hammond?
Daryl Hammond is in there, and he said, he's like, and your host, John Mulvaney. When John Mulaney was hosting, he called him John Mulvaney. It's like, this guy wrote, this guy was a writer when you worked here. You worked alongside this guy. And your host, John Mulvaney. They should have walked him out of the building. You should have seen, next thing you should have seen was Daryl Hammond with a cardboard box with a plant in it going down the elevator.
So I guess there won't be a night of 1,000 Hammonds anytime soon.
And your host, Yahoo Sirius.
You should have gone up on Sirius, but you didn't.
Ah.
You're done.
Pumps in a bump.
So this video is basically MC Hammer's in a Speedo, a leopard skin Speedo, wearing like sunglasses and black gloves in at like an outdoor pool. He's got gloves. It's like, what are you, the Boston Strangler? Wearing gloves at the pool? Yeah, it's a filthy, you watch this video and you're just like, yeah, okay, of course this guy went bankrupt. I think he went bankrupt making this video. Best show, hi.
What's going on, Tom? Zach in Buffalo.
Zach in Buffalo, let's just get right to the thing here. What do you got?
All right. A musical guest, spoken word from Henry Rollins.
That keeps you alive. The impression's not so hot, but okay. What else? Let's hear another one.
And your host, Kevin Smith.
That would be the weirdest episode of SNL. Kevin Smith is the host, and the musical guest is Henry Rollins doing spoken word. You got one more?
Yeah. Story, Macaulay Culkin.
All right, now you're done. Guy made it to three. Three's the most so far, that guy. Guy did it. Best show, hi.
Hi, I'm here for Community at Night with Dalton Bardos.
Now, what's your name now?
My name is Farad.
Farad? All right, let's hear what you got, Farad.
Okay. It's Saturday Night Live with a musical guest, Cher.
All right, keep going.
I was about to do one name here. Okay, so Phil Hartman, Tracy Morgan, Dennis Miller, Kevin Nealon, Jan Hooks, and starring Elliot Gould.
Okay, that's very good. This guy's in the lead so far. All right, thanks, buddy.
No problem.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Best show, hi.
Hello, Tom.
Oh, my goodness. This is now, for people who don't know, there's a hero. The word hero gets thrown around all too comfortably these days, and it sickens me. But there's a guy down south, Alabama way, who he's kind of like Alabama's Batman. And he leaves his mark, it's a Z, whenever he does one of his good deeds. There's usually a Z marked at the scene. And then people are like, what does the Z stand for? And then they look, and then there's usually some crumpled up Zaxby's bag and some takeout container on the floor.
Yeah.
Just on the street. It's like, well, this guy's a hero, but he clearly has no problem littering.
Hero
kind of couldn't have thrown that stuff in a garbage can. No, this is Jason from Huntsville, Alabama. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Tom?
Good. Well, what's going on?
You got the humidity up there now. It's been less humid than normal here today, so maybe that's
We have your humidity now.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you should see. AP Mike's eating crawfish tonight.
You just sit him out on the windowsill, yeah. Let him boil.
He's got a rusty bucket. Yeah, he's doing a crawfish boil out there on the stove. He threw in.
You got a connect? Does he have a crawfish connect?
He does have a crawfish connect, and then he just decided to two for one it. He threw some Elio's pizza in the boil. So it's going to be really wet pizza that also tastes like crawfish. And then Louisiana style. Yeah, just like they do down in Louisiana, you throw in some frozen pizza.
Yeah.
What's going on tonight, my friend?
Well, I'm going to try this Night of a Thousand Pardos.
I can't wait to hear this.
I will say, the last person, the technical aspect of his Pardo, I think that's the standard for tonight. That's the one to beat.
I think so. I'm being told that guy is a ringer who actually is a professional announcer.
Oh.
Someone is telling me. So look, and there was nothing about this being an amateur contest. It's not even a contest. It's just an event. There's no prize. I ain't giving no prize out on this. But yeah, but he does announcing for other things. So good for him. It's nice to know some announcements. Some announcers like listening to this show.
Yeah.
So let's hear it. Don't worry about him. You don't worry about him.
I'm not. I'm not worried about him. Okay. With Salacious B. Crumb.
Okay, so Salacious Crumb from the little creepy dude from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
The guy who was like, that guy.
Yeah.
The Muppet dude, he's in the cast of SNL in your
Kit
world.
Kit Fisto.
Say that again.
Kit Fisto.
Who's that now?
He was in the prequels. He was a Jedi.
Okay.
Bib Fortuna.
So Bib Fortuna.
Lobot,
one of the bounty hunters.
Mean Numbed.
Who?
Mean Numbed.
I don't know who that is.
He's a little mouse looking guy that's flying the thing. I don't know. He was flying a thing.
Was he the one who was next to Lando when they're flying a thing? And he's just like, well, I can't get through this. He's like, we can't make it through that thing. And then.
Yeah, that's him.
Oh,
Wicked man. W. Warwick!
See, I'm telling you, this is right now. If you wrote for that other guy, you guys would be like a juggernaut.
Well, you can. I'm in the phone book.
In the phone book, great. Well, that
featuring Dexter Jester.
Dexter Jester owned a very popular cafe.
Now it's Killy the Rancor Keeper. You're the musical guest.
Say it.
Five Snoodles and the Max Rebar Band.
There it is, the Max Rebar Band. You know, one of the great things about this is as Jason is throwing out these dumb names that are just complete garbage, but on this planet right now, there are probably a few tons worth of action figures of these ironically funny characters that tons of pollution, like probably 5 years was shaved off of Earth's existence to make sure that there was a Salacious Crumb action figure.
Or a Snaggletooth.
Yes. To make sure that
there's a 4x4 hole in the ozone.
Yeah.
For Snaggletooth.
Yes, exactly. Bib Fortuna, there's some rays coming through now.
Yeah.
In the hole that was created so that there could be a Bib Fortuna action figure.
They should name a variety of melanoma after Bib Fortuna.
Jeez. With a film by R2-D2.
All right, now you're out. Bye. Everybody gets the same boot, man, on this one. That's how it goes. Best show, hi.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross.
Okay, that's pretty good.
It's really good, don't you think?
Yeah, no, that was good. I mean
he's, have you seen this guy?
Wilbur Ross, no, I mean.
He's a Secretary of Commerce. He's 80, but he looks like he's, I don't know, deceased.
Okay.
That's the energy level. You know how Trump's always saying that everyone has low energy?
Mm-hmm.
This guy has negative energy.
So he actually siphons off other people's energy to keep
exactly,
them going.
Yeah,
no, I just, it's hard. It's hard with these old timers.
Right. I do one more?
Yeah, keep going.
With musical guest, Stu Cook.
Stu Cook from Creedence Clearwater Revival.
The bassist, solo, doing two solo songs.
Just, I'm picturing just bass and vocals?
Yes.
Like, he didn't even put together, he didn't even get a guitarist and a drummer.
He might not have even been able to get any.
Yeah.
Like, he had feelers out, but there were no takers.
People are passing on being on SNL.
Exactly. Stu, yeah, I'm going to pass on that. Like, not even I have something else going on. It's just I'm passing.
Like, they wouldn't even make up the lie that he knows is a lie.
Right.
They're just like, yeah, I don't want to do that.
Let me do one more.
Yeah, go ahead.
With a special stand-up set by Steve Carlton.
That's a Phillies pitcher?
Yes. He's like a noted crotchety weirdo.
So he'd go on the show, I'm picturing, in his Phillies uniform.
Yes, but he was also known for wearing these giant fur coats, too.
So would he come out in the fur coat?
He'd have the fur coat over the vintage 70s, you know, like the tight uniform.
Like the light blue?
The away uniform with, what do they call those, stirrups? Is that what those are? Like the sock things?
Yeah, like a sock garter or something that they had on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked when the Pirates wore shorts. Do you remember?
Yes. The White Sox did too, I think,
It might have been the White, where they're just like, let's wear shorts.
Yes.
Like,
there's a funny story that has been verified. One of the guys on the, I think on the White Sox, he was voted into the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. And somehow his uniform didn't make it to the game. So he had no uniform, so he went to the concession stand. Remember, back then they would sell uniforms to kids.
Yeah.
And somehow he was able to buy a White Sox uniform that fit him somehow. Mm-hmm. And he wore that to the game.
He wore a uniform that he bought out in the, at a merch stand.
Dan Epstein has verified this. The writer.
Okay. Well, that's,
so,
well, that's a lot of baseball,
a lot of
knowledge
stuff
coming here. Hey, I recognize your voice, right? Do I know you?
Well, you should.
Okay. Well, who is this?
It's Nick. Betty's husband.
Ugh, okay. Hey, Nick.
How's it going?
Oh, it's good. Well, I guess I should say, people don't know you, people listening, and it's like, you know, my longtime friend, Betty, is married to you. You're her new husband, Nick.
That's right.
So how's it going, Nick?
Well, to be honest, I'm a little miffed.
Yeah. Okay. I saw this coming. Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm sure this is about the party the other night, right?
Of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
I have one question for you.
Yeah?
Would it have killed you to sit in that chair for more than 15 seconds?
Hey, Nick, you know, look. I know you're so proud of your super expensive stereo system and that you've got this chair that you have mathematically positioned to give the listener the optimal, the absolute greatest experience possible. But I just have to say it felt weird to be sitting there in front of like 30 people at a party while you're hovering around me to boot.
Well, I just wanted to make sure you were properly enjoying Peter Gabriel's So album. And, you know, of all the guests I had there, I thought you'd be the one who would appreciate the chair most because Betty's always telling me how much you love music and all you talk about is music.
Look, I like music. I love music. Yes. But I don't want to be looked at while I'm listening to it. You know, and I really don't like being filmed while I'm listening to it.
Well, I need content for my Tales from the Audio Chair blog. And, you know, truthfully, you are by far the biggest FP to ever sit in that chair. And you didn't even sit there long enough for me to get footage. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't even make it to the first course of Red Raid before you got up and said you had to go to the toity.
Yeah. I just, it's, the whole thing felt weird. It felt way too weird for what I had expected out of what's supposed to be just a party.
Well, you felt weird. I felt really embarrassed. And I'll tell you, I paid Heinrich the Audio Guru $13,000 for that system and an additional $4,000 for that chair. And then you disrespected me by bolting after 20 seconds. How am I supposed to feel about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, look, I'm sorry if I came off however I came off, but it's like there's just an energy that was coming off of you, Nick, that was just so, like, it was like manic energy, like bad energy. Like people would, you'd get people to sit in the chair.
Right.
And they're sitting there and they're sitting, they're not even in the thing for 30 seconds before you're like skipping through to another track and you're staring at them and I guess you were filming them also. And then,
well,
you're,
yeah.
And then you're berating them if they don't seem to be getting it the way you want them to get it, not hearing what you want them to be hearing.
Well, I wish you'd been in the room when I played like 40 seconds of Giant Steps for Tammy, and she was just looking at me like she didn't know what she was hearing. What kind of idiot is that?
But if somebody's sitting there, maybe they don't know jazz, or it's not their thing, but how are they ever going to appreciate it if you're staring at them while they're trying to take it in?
I wasn't just staring. At one point, I shoved Mike's face in that Avalon album.
Uh-huh. To look at the cover of
it. Yes, understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a great vibe, Nick. You know?
You know, and then to add insult to injury, you didn't come back in when I took off Texas Flood and I put on Synchronicity.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, let me... I'm not even going to... You said to add what to injury?
Insult.
Okay, yeah.
What do you think it is?
It's insult. So...
No, it's not. It's insult. Have you ever heard that? No, when someone... When someone scrapes, when you were a kid, didn't like if you scraped your knee, your mother would say, lay there while I don't get salt to put in your wound. I'm getting something else, something that'll heal it.
To get in, okay, sure. Maybe I had a different upbringing than you did with that stuff, but why would
the saltiest, the worst part of the container of salt was always the bottom, the end salt. Mm-hmm, that's,
sure.
That's what stung most.
Well, what I, okay, so that's the word. Why would you think that a Stevie Ray Vaughan album, like you took that off and then you put on a Police record?
Yeah.
And you'd think that that would bring me back in?
I thought it would.
Uh-huh. Why would you think that would draw me back in?
Well, because Betty said that you really like punk rock, and that's the only punk rock album I have.
The Police, Synchronicity.
Yeah.
Not exactly punk.
Are you kidding? Synchronicity Part 2? That's like speed metal almost.
Yeah, almost. Almost.
Okay, well, I guess I should have played Cargo.
Men at Work?
Yeah.
Why, is that punk also?
Yeah.
That's, okay.
Glass Houses?
No, that's not. You think that this is like punk to you?
You're going to get it?
You're going to get it. Who's that now?
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
That's right. These are
Mirrors
not,
by Blue Oyster Cult?
These are not punk albums.
Fables of the Reconstruction.
No, R.E.M. were not punk.
The Lexicon of Love.
ABC, the first ABC album.
Mm-hmm. Mighty Like a Rose?
That's when Elvis Costello was like, I'm going to have a beard now.
Along the Red Ledge.
I don't remember what that is.
That's Hall & Oates.
This is not punk, Nick.
New Traditionalists.
Wait, what is that?
Devo.
It's Devo, yeah, okay.
Crack Jake Vogelnest much? It don't sound like you do.
I don't, actually. I would not crack him.
All right, Infidels.
Infidels? Who's that again?
Bob Dylan.
This is not a punk. This is not punk.
Fly on the Wall.
AC/DC?
Yes.
Well, that's actually...
Have you seen the cover?
It's like an outhouse or something, right?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, that's their country record then.
I think they had, clearly at some point they changed graphic designers.
I think so.
Because they went from Back in Black, which was this black album,
mm-hmm.
And then they had For Those About to Rock, which is a canon.
Both embossed, too.
Both embossed. And then after that, then they went to a Flick of the Switch was probably the next one.
Yeah, it was a pencil sketch of a little boy hanging from a switch.
Yeah, so they went and they had a pencil sketch on as their next. Clearly somebody was cutting corners somewhere.
Could be.
Then the one after that was like a cartoonish, like a knot hole, like a peak hole in it. It looked like the kind of thing you'd see for sale at like Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
Like it would be like a thing you'd hang in a country bathroom they mm-hmm. would sell to like if you needed wall art for a country bathroom.
Right. Well, the word is it was originally titled Country Bathroom.
That was the name of that album.
The new album from AC/DC is Country Bathroom.
That would be... I wish
I'd buy it.
You'd buy Country Bathroom.
I would. I sure would.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm still really miffed.
What are you miffed about?
Well, I'm myth about another layer of Saturday Night.
Uh-huh. What?
Well, would it have killed you to at least feign interest in my movie and TV memorabilia room?
Oh, Nick, I don't want to go anywhere near this.
I think we should.
No, I don't
Let's
want
get
to.
It out. If you and me uh-huh. and Betty are going to be friends, we got to hash this out.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay.
So what Look. Do you think, what's the... What? Why are you miffed again?
Well, I think you should just come clean and admit you're jealous, okay?
I'm jealous
Yes.
Go ahead. Why am I jealous?
I know you're struggling to break into show business, and it's probably really annoying to you that this realtor, who you think is so uncool, has all this great movie and TV memorabilia, and there you are trying to get spec scripts to John Ross Bowie.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I like John. Actually, he's a good guy.
I do, too. Yeah. I was a big Naked Babies booster.
Uh-huh. Oh, you were a Naked Babies booster?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have that on a shirt or something?
I do, yeah.
NBB.
Yep.
Yeah. No,
front row every time.
Look, my business with John Ross Bowie or is or isn't any of your business.
Okay, fair enough.
And if he doesn't open the envelopes I send him or does open them, that's between me and him.
Fair enough.
You know, and look, I don't think you're uncool, Nick.
Please. I saw you roll your eyes when I said, but a book, but a boom.
Yeah, because it's a corny commercial. Then that line is so played out.
I love that line. I can't wait for that commercial to come on.
Uh-huh. So you get pumped when that commercial comes
on. I do. I start doing push-ups.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes chin-ups. Do you have a chin-up bar?
Do it? No, I don't. No.
You got to get one.
Yeah.
Got to get one. I can do two.
You can do two.
Yes.
Yeah. Chin-up bars always seemed to... either seemed like they broke the door mold.
They
or
always,
something.
90% of the time they break the door.
Yeah, they did not seem. And then I guess it's just assuming it can't be a doorway with a door, right?
Right. It's an entryway at that point,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. So I guess it has to be a frat house. Then you can put one in.
Yes. Oh, I long for my frat days.
You miss your frat days?
I do. I miss my frat brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in jail.
Yeah.
They took it too far.
Uh-huh.
So I did too, truthfully, but I ran away that night.
Yeah. Well, look, you got away from them, and now look at you.
You got to run, right?
You're a realtor with a cool stereo system and a memorabilia room.
Well, speaking of, what didn't you like about my collectibles?
Uh-huh. Honestly?
Yes.
The stuff you had, especially for the amount of talking you did...
I hyped it quite a bit.
It was not A-level stuff. It was a strange... It fell into a strange spot of being close to exciting without being actually exciting, the things
close
you had.
Close to exciting? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
You're out of your mind. All my stuff is top shelf.
Like what?
Well, like the pencil that Richard Mulligan was doodling with when he was stuck on the phone waiting for customer service in episode 21 of Empty Nest.
Uh-huh.
That was great, do you think?
The pencil from Empty Nest. Okay.
Okay. Well, how about the glass that Stanley Tucci was sipping from in the great Spielberg-Hanks film Terminal? Of course, everyone loves Stanley Tucci as airport official Frank Dixon in that film.
From the term, yeah, okay. Okay, you had a glass that Stanley Tucci drank out of.
Okay. Matthew Broderick's belt from the movie Tower Heist. It's in like four scenes.
His belt?
Yes.
But he's not, just correct me if I'm wrong, he's not whipping it around the room or anything.
No, not in anything that made it into the movie. There's a rumored scene that landed on the cutting room floor of him having like a whipping contest with somebody.
But in the movie that any of us could see, it's just a belt through his belt loops on his.
Unfortunately, belt. Yes.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Okay. Well, you're not impressed by that. There's no way you weren't blown away by the roll of masking tape that I had that was used on the set of The Price Is Right.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, and not during the Drew Carey run, okay? This was Barker tape, the good stuff.
Uh-huh. So a roll of masking tape that was on The Price Is Right when Bob Barker was the host.
Yes, I can't verify that he touched it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, how about the Julia Louis-Dreyfus raincoat from the famous Rain episode of The New Adventures of Old Christine?
The raincoat, yeah. It, I mean, Okay. It's a raincoat. It's a raincoat from a from her her third most popular show.
That could definitely be debated all night.
Well, there's Veep.
Right.
Then there's Seinfeld.
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh, so you're saying New Adventures of Old Christine is more popular than Seinfeld?
I'd rank that first, then Veep, then Seinfeld.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seinfeld, not Steinfeld.
Okay. Well, then what else do I have? The briefcase from Pulp Fiction.
Yes. That's impressive. That one's impressive.
Oh, you know what? I don't think you were in the room when I explained that it's not the briefcase that Samuel L. Jackson and Travolta have. It's a briefcase that you can see in the background of that scene at the ice cream shop. It's on a shelf. I guess it was like part of like their lost and found section. Maybe someone came in and got some ice cream and then left their briefcase.
Yeah, so it's a... Okay, so it's a briefcase that doesn't even... It's not the briefcase. It's a briefcase.
Yeah.
So maybe you need to stop saying it's the briefcase from Pulp Fiction and say it's a briefcase from Pulp Fiction.
That doesn't punch as well.
Yeah. Well, okay.
All right. I also have Bud Abbott's shoe.
What's that?
Bud Abbott's shoe.
Bud Abbott from Abbott and Costello.
Yes.
You have his shoes.
Yeah. And I'm not sure which movie it's from or if it was even in a movie, but I definitely have his left shoe.
Oh, so you don't even have the pair of shoes?
I don't, no.
Okay. So you have Bud Abbott's left shoe.
I do, yeah. And it's one of those shoes that an elderly person has, so it's probably not in a movie.
It was probably after the fact.
It's like an orthopedic shoe.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he was wearing orthopedic shoes when they were filming those movies.
It's possible, like his last one, which I guess was in the 80s.
It was not. He was not making movies in the 80s.
We could, I wish my computer worked. Mm-hmm. I could look it up, but it's not working right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, well, you know what?
What?
Let's get this out of the open, too, all right? I don't think I didn't see you snickering at my bro-dozer as you walked up the driveway, okay?
Your bro-dozer?
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming is the yellow Hummer.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know what? To be honest, I was snickering.
See, I knew it.
Uh-huh. How can you even drive that thing?
Are you kidding? It commands total respect and conveys awesome power.
A bloated yellow Hummer.
It's sleek. Uh-huh. Large and sleek. I'll tell you, man, when I drive that thing up, kids flee.
Yeah, I'm sure they flee.
They're terrified. Yeah. And kids flee, men salute. I've had, like, at least 15 servicemen salute me as I drive
up. So servicemen salute you.
Oh, yeah.
Just because you're driving a Hummer.
Yep.
They salute you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what else. I've had a couple tube tops get taken down, too.
Because people get are turned on.
Right,
yellow.
Yes. I didn't want to say it. You said it.
Yeah, well, because I don't believe it is why I'm saying it.
Well, get ready to believe it because it's true.
Well,
that's a great slogan. I think Trump should use that. Get ready to believe it because it's true.
That's actually very good.
What do you think's going on in his stomach at, like, 90% of the time?
Like, what sound do I think is going
on?
Yes,
yeah.
I think it's probably sounds something like this.
Yes, stop!
Like somebody just asking for a reprieve.
Please stop!
Please stop!
No more fish fillets!
Yes. And then a fish fillet hits the person in the head then, because here comes another one.
What do you think is the shortest amount of time he's gone between the last bite of a fish fillet and the first bite of a sundae?
The shortest amount
of time?
I think
he can do it in one motion.
Yeah, I would bet that it's almost he's even alternated at points. He's just started on the Sunday before he was done with the fish fillet and then just...
Sunday first, yes.
Yeah, but then he'll go one bite, one bite, one bite, like One bite of the fish fillet, one bite of the sundae. One bite of the fish fillet, one bite of the sundae.
Do you think he says it too? Like one bite of that.
Probably, yeah, I could see him saying it.
I love it.
Or seeing him just even go like, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, final bite. Like,
oh, no.
What?
Oh, no.
What? What's going on?
Oh, jeez.
What?
Well, you know, after you humiliated me by leaving the audio chair, I installed leg and arm restraints that automatically engage when a listener sits in the chair.
Yeah.
And the straps don't disengage until a song is completed.
All right. Well, that's very weird and very unfair and probably illegal, I guess, also.
Well, speaking of weird and unfair.
Yeah.
I just sat down in the chair and the straps engaged. And I thought I had this thing set on manual. I can't get it to disengage.
So you're strapped in the chair now.
Yes, I'm strapped in.
Your arms and legs?
I can't move. I can't get free. Oh, no.
What is that?
It's playing Gaucho, Tom. That's some quality audio. You can't argue with this quality, right?
No, I can hear that soprano sax is pretty...
This is their punk album.
Gaucho.
Oh, no!
Wait, what is that?
Oh, no.
What?
I had the stereo cranked too high. Heinrich told me this might happen. In a stereo, it blew up.
Your stereo blew up, but what does that sound now I hear?
That's fire!
So you're still strapped to the...
I'm strapped in! Tom, you gotta call the Newbridge Rescue Department. I don't actually need the Search and Rescue Department because, well, you know where I am, so you can just tell them to come to my house.
Well, look, I would call for help, but I have to just say my phone has been really weird since the weekend. It's been operating at 1/16th of its normal speed.
No. Oh, you know why?
Why?
That's because I uploaded a bunch of high-res audio files onto your phone that I bought from Heinrich. And I'll tell you, those files make Pono files look like MP1s.
So you installed stuff on my phone to why? To slow it down?
No, I wanted you to hear how good audio could sound. All the straps are getting tighter. Oh, no. You know, I think, if I'm correct, you should have the entire Barking Pumpkin catalog on your phone right now.
I didn't look. And let me look. Oh, yeah, there it is. Wow. Okay.
It's a lot of good stuff.
Yes,
your guitar is in there.
It's a lot of stuff on here.
Oh, no, it blew up again. Oh, Tom, hurry. Please call. This is like if Christine was a high-fidelity lounge chair.
Okay, I'll try. I'll try to give you some help, Nick. Nick? Oh, no. Oh, no. Poor Nick. I don't know, man. That might be the end of Nick. I guess that's a thing. Nick has a thing. Mike has a... Like, Mike used to hang out in some dude's apartment. Was it a house? Not an apartment. I guess, is that a thing of dudes just cranking stereos? Well, I'll put you in touch with Nick, Mike. Called Audiophiles. Okay. All right. Well, I think the stereo blew up. So I was going to say you should go over and check his out. I don't think he's... Yeah, we might not be hearing a whole lot from him. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Bob Pardo.
All right, love it. You're in character already. What do you? Let's hear it. What do you got?
Well, I hope you're ready for the musical guest, Tom the Wet Sprocket and Paula Abdul.
You sound a little cozy, which I don't remember him being. You sound more like you're sitting in front of a fireplace.
I don't know what you mean.
Get out of here. What are you, Santa Claus? It's Don Pardo, not Santa Claus.
You don't know what you mean there.
Best show, hi. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Do I have to do my Don Pardo?
What's your name?
This is Claire O'Kane.
Oh, my goodness. It's Claire O'Kane, the famous comedian, whose new album. I'm going to say, this is, you didn't ask for this. Your new album is available for pre-order now, right?
This is true.
And this is an album I'm looking forward to.
Are you?
I am.
Good.
What's it called again? Let It Be?
It's called Let It Be. It's a very original title that I think will really grab the eye and the ear.
I think it will. I think people are going to respond to the newness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what label's putting this out now?
AST, A Special Thing Records.
A Special Thing Records that has put out records that we've all enjoyed over the years, like Jonah Ray had a single.
Mm-hmm.
And who else did things on that? I think that's it. So you're
Pat Oswalt, he was there. He did it.
Who?
I think Patton Oswalt had one. I could be wrong.
There you go. Patton Oswalt, who was one of my favorite people, and I heard him on Hollywood Handbook last week. It was very exciting. He's very funny.
Never heard of it.
So, yeah. Well, look, Claire, there's time for everything. You catch up. They All Can't Be, Let It Be by Claire O'Kane, where we all hear it and are ready for it. So when does this record hit? What's the street date on this record?
Record drops like a steaming pile on August 10th.
August 10th, right?
Yep.
Perfect time to order it, because then it gets sent to your house and put on your porch and it warps in the mm-hmm. sun. It sits there until you get home from work. You get home and you got a nice chip bowl.
Yeah, it's a condensation. The condensation comes with it.
So let's hear Claire mm-hmm. O'Kane, one of my favorite people. You know that. You know that's true.
Yeah, sure.
Let's hear this Let's hear this Don Pardo impression.
I could do my Jimmy Pardo.
Let's hear both. I want to hear both. Let me hear your Jimmy Pardo into your Don Pardo.
Ladies and gentlemen, my favorite band, Journey, will.
Okay, that's great.
Am I doing it good?
That was great. Do you want to hear my Jimmy Pardo impression?
Yeah.
Ha ha!
Oh, no.
That's how he laughs. He goes, ha-ha!
Yeah, I know. I had a boyfriend who sounded like that. He laughed like that once.
He laughed like ha-ha!
Yeah, the two ha's. It's like you're reading a laugh off of a page.
Yes. It's like, no, no, make it more natural. Make it more like if he's in a voiceover session. And it's like, all right, that's a good start. Just kind of own it now. Start taking ownership of the laughter on this. And just give us as if you'd laugh. You don't have to read the laugh. Just be the laugh. So let's hear your Don Pardo now.
Okay. It's Saturday Night Live. Oh, no. My boyfriend's standing in front of me shaking his head. Okay, I got
to
turn around.
You tell that. Tell him to knock it off, or I'll come over there. I'll punch him in the nose. And I mean it.
Tom says hi.
There you go. That's how that gets processed.
Oh, now he's trying to do his impression.
Tell him to wait his turn. Tell him to wait his turn. What is he doing?
Wait your turn. Do you want to do it? You got to do a
community pool?
What's that?
What's he think? This is a community pool? Everybody, wait your turn.
Hold on. I'll do mine and I'll tell him what the deal is. Okay. It's Saturday Night Live featuring Soy Bomb. Is that good? Did I win?
Yeah, that's good. You're still alive. Keep going.
I could do more than one?
Yeah, go.
Featuring Ellen Cleghorn.
Everybody goes to Ellen Cleghorn. That's everybody's default.
It's just the funniest. It's the funniest sounding Saturday Night Live name.
So there's
musical guest.
Okay, who's a musical guest?
Yo Yo Ma.
So Yo Yo Ma. It's a great episode with Soy Bomb is hosting, the guy who ran on stage when Bob Dylan played in the Grammys. And
yeah,
danced around.
How could you forget?
That guy who used to be at, I used to see that guy at, if you were in a previous generation of comedy people, Claire, you would have been doing stand-up next to that guy. He was at Luna Lounge. Michael Portnoy did stand-up, did like performance things at the Monday Night Eating It show a lot.
Did he ever workshop Soy Bomb?
No, there was just a point where suddenly it was like everybody's just going to this Monday night comedy thing at the Luna Lounge on Ludlow, and then suddenly one night it's like, and everybody's just like, did anybody see that Michael Portnoy went on stage at the Grammys? It was just suddenly this thing. It's like that guy who's here in front of 100 people every week ran on stage at the Grammys. It said Soy Bomb on his chest. It was just very weird.
I'm sure. Well,
so,
the
90s,
huh?
Yeah, but yes, the 90s. It was so great. It was the year 1990. That's how early it was.
Hey, when I was born.
It was 90. It was like late 90s.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Can my boyfriend do his Don Pardo?
Of course. We can hear your boyfriend.
You got to do your Don Pardo. I'm explaining to him. But you can only choose one name, like the host. So, you got one? Okay, I'm going to pass this on, okay?
What's here?
Yeah, you say it's Saturday. You do the whole thing.
Oh,
okay,
boy.
One second.
It's Saturday Night Live with your host, Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay, that's good. Keep going. Keep going.
Musical guest, Barack Obama on a kazoo.
All right, now you're out of here. Barack Obama on a kazoo. Look, I know I got you to extend past what you're ready for. Chuck E. Cheese would be a good host, though.
Your host, Chuck E. Cheese, and your host, Chuck E. Cheese. Ladies and gentlemen, Chuck E. Cheese.
Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. This is Brandon from Queens.
Brandon from Queens. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, I'd love to do my part of for you.
Let's hear it.
All right.
Musical guest, Swans.
So the Swans are the musical guest, okay. Keep going.
And your host, Werner Herzog.
That's very good. What else you got?
Can I do a second musical guest?
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Musical guest, Chuck Mangione.
Okay, and your host, do another one.
And your host, CeCe Sabathia.
That's very funny. This guy's good.
Can I do one more?
One more. You keep going.
All right.
Musical guest, Black Randy and the Metro Squad.
Okay. Great. Get some Danger House Punk on there. Keep going.
And one more host.
Yeah.
And your host, a series of cartoons by Robert Smigel.
So the cartoons are hosting the show. That's fantastic. You
are in the lead, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
What's your name again?
Brandon from Queens.
Brandon from Queens. You did it. You did it, Brandon. You did it. Hey, Mike, are you going to this Paul Simon thing? He's got this final show coming up. You're not going? Can you imagine? Where let me get the info on this. This is Paul Simon, who can't sing anymore. He couldn't sing in 1970. He's got a final show coming up. I guess it's his big farewell to live performing. Where is it going to be? Because it's in Queens. This guy reminded me. It's at Flushing Meadows Corona Park on September 22nd. What if it rains? Just pour, like pouring rain for its final show. Like, what would they do then? You want to go, Mike? You want me to get you in? This is what I'll say. Anybody who listens to this show, you know we have a point system going on for people who get, for the staff here to bring different guests to the fold. And it's been pretty quiet. It's like a three-way tie for last out there with these guys. It's, I don't know if it's just basic summertime sleepiness or disinterest in the show, in the entirety of the best show, or the hatred of me, or a combination of all those things. I don't know. But we used to have David Crosby. We got David Crosby. We got the Flasher from Twin Peaks, or the drunk. It was not a Flasher. He played a drunk on Twin Peaks. They called in. Mike? What's that? Mike's trying to get David Lynch to call in. Sure, that'll happen. He seems like one of these weird guys who's like, I go to sleep at 6 p.m. Like that's what he would, like, have something that, of course, makes sense for you, you super weirdo. I go to sleep at 6 p.m. I wake up at noon. Like, well, you sleep, he sleeps 18 hours. Okay. Sure, you're a weird guy. That seems within the bounds of your weirdness. I'll say this to all Best Show listeners, and I don't mean this. Don't do anything menacing or whatever. But if anybody goes to that final Paul Simon show, and they can play an air horn during it, right? And you just see, you know, look, you probably get bounced. But if you get audio of it, of you blasting an air horn during this Paul Simon show, the final show, that I would love. So if he's doing his thing, it's Paul Simon. I'm watching this video from Hollywood Bowl. That's what I want to hear. If you get audio of just, maybe this is a bad idea. I don't want to ruin people's good time. I'm taking this one off the table. This doesn't seem like fun. Maybe just during the talking parts. Don't ruin this. Like,
I ever wrote is, well, that's the song that we're about to play. And the title is Renee and Georgia Magritte. Renee and Georgia Magritte with their dog after the war.
Can you imagine that? Oh, I got a snooze. Song stealing snooze. Best show, hi.
Hey, Alex White from White Mystery here.
Alex White from White Mystery. I'm being told that we have a rock star calling.
Wow. How you doing, Tom?
I'm good. Now, you, Alex White, you've been here in this studio with me before. You're the singer and guitarist of this duo that you have with your brother called White Mystery. And it's these two maniacs. And I don't think that's an insult. Drive that have been in a van together, a brother and sister, driving around the country for the last decade.
Yep.
And now it is 10 years in.
Correct. We just played our 1,000th show, and we don't drive a van. We drive a hatchback around the world.
So it's a hatchback.
A Pontiac vibe of all things.
So it's you and your brother, your little
yep.
brother, Francis. And you just did your 1,000th show.
Yep.
And you have a new record just came out, right?
Hellion Blender, our new record on sand-filled vinyl, which is not a joke, sold out. And we're going to be in New York on Friday. And we have Nick Gazin, who's a huge fan of yours.
Oh, I know Nick.
Nick loves you.
Yeah, I love Nick.
And he's DJing. And we're in Cleveland right now. We're about to play a show at Maple Lane.
Where in Brooklyn are you playing?
We're playing at El Cortez, which is in Bushwick. And we're playing with a hardcore band that everyone's talking about called the Giraffe. And Max Payne and the Groovies. And tomorrow, which is Wednesday, we're playing at Get Hip in Pittsburgh. And all the Get Hip folks say hello to Tom.
That's nice. Look, I like the Get Hip people down in Pittsburgh there.
Yep.
So this, you're on tour.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing that I love about White Mystery. This is a self-sufficient enterprise. There ain't nobody else involved in this. It's these two, it's a brother and sister. And they make all their merch. They put their records out. They book their tours. Self-sufficient.
It's the American dream at work, Tom.
Now, what happens to you? You've never sounded more Chicago than you just did right there.
Yeah, you know, it's because we were at home for a little while. The Chicago is strong. You know, daily diet of what we call the meaty Tylenol, which is a Chicago-style hot dog. And the last time we talked was in March, when we're on our way to South by Southwest, and so many of your best show fans actually came to our shows.
Yeah.
After they heard us, and they're like, "Hi, I'm a best show fan, and I'm so and so," and it was really cool because we like met all these new people just because of the best show and you.
Well, good. Well, they're good people, and you're good people. I'm just trying to put good people together.
They're really like hilarious, brilliant people. So
well,
you attract.
Let's not
birds of a feather, Tom.
Yeah. Well, that's sweet of you to say. And look, this Friday, I'm going to try to come to the show on Friday. I got to see what the deal is. I've seen White Mystery rock out before. Because this is now 10 years in, and you had a 10-year pact with your brother.
Yep.
That you would not, no one could fall in love.
Correct.
For 10 years.
Which I since have done immediately upon the pact concluding on April 20th. And it's pretty cool being an adult.
So on this year, April 20th, you reached the 10-year mark with the band, and you fell in love immediately.
Immediately.
The first chance you had.
Yep. The first person I saw, I was like, you there.
That's...
You look great.
Now you sound even more Chicago somehow. That was... You just topped yourself. Hey, you there.
Oh, my God.
You there. We're in love
you
now.
You there.
Hey.
And, you know, the other thing that we did, Tom, since then, part of that pact as well, was that we didn't cut our hair, and my brother and I finally got little trims. We got trims this week. We got twin trims.
Well, I saw a picture on Instagram. It's not exactly like you guys went and got your head shaved or anything.
No, we didn't do the Metallica, you know, Hetfield shaved sides look. Not quite yet.
No, you're still, you both are flying the flag pretty hard.
Yeah, we got big red curly hair. It's hard to miss us.
You just got it tightened up a little bit.
tightened up on the sides.
So where do people go? Where do people go to see you now, Miss Alex White?
Yeah, so if anyone in Cleveland is listening right now, we're playing Maple Lane. I'm literally, you can probably hear the music in the background as the door opens. I'm in the backyard of this Buzz Inn bowling alley in Cleveland. We play in like half hour or so. Tomorrow, Pittsburgh, get hip. And the following day, which is Thursday, we're playing a DIY show in Philadelphia with a bunch of great bands at a place called The Pharmacy. It's all ages. And then Friday at El Cortez, where I'll see you, hopefully.
I hope so, too. That's exciting.
Yeah.
This is
and,
great.
You know, I always love coming on your show, so thanks for having me. We listened to the last one. Oh, man, we were losing it.
Good. And look.
It's entertainment.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're all trying to do it. Alex,
yeah,
Miss Alex,
and you know the last time I was there, Tom, you had John Spencer on the show.
No, John and Christina were here,
dude. That was so cool.
Yeah, but you know, what was the greatest part of that whole night is they came in and they were kind of low key, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, comes Miss Alex White, totally rock starred out, like you were dressed to the nines, and you rolled in, and it was like, wait, who's the rock star now?
Yes.
It was very exciting.
You tell me. Wow. And for all your folks who are listening, too, I wanted to kind of extend an invitation. Oh. I'm really curious about, like, all your fans because, you know, having met them, like, on the road in Kansas City and St. Louis, et cetera, I want to hear, like, some Best Shows fans, like, stand up in bands, and they can tweet them to me at Miss Alex White on Twitter if all people right. are into that kind of thing. If they want me to listen, because we're on the road, we're driving all day, and, you know, I really like hearing the new stuff. So if anyone wants to share it with me, I'd love to hear what people
challenge has been thrown at you. You hit Alex White up as Miss Alex White.
And really quick, Tom, I want to hand the phone just super quickly to my brother, Francis Scott Key White,
okay.
because he's a huge fan of yours.
All
and
right,
usually
he
it's
does,
me,
sweetheart.
But Fran the man wants to say
all right,
hello.
I
so say here
hi
he
to
is.
Fran also.
Hello, Mr. Sharpling.
What's
hello,
up?
Radioland.
What's up?
How's everybody?
What's up?
Up,
Francis?
What up? I'm sure you had only nice things to say about me this
of
time.
Of course. Of course.
Cool,
when you're big
cool,
sister,
cool,
now, your big
cool.
sister, how your Alex is your big sister, right? And she would shove you around a little bit?
No, never. She was only ever very nice and guiding and respectful towards
you. You got out of line.
She
wouldn't make you go pick a switch?
Well, what are all these questions? Why are you grilling me? How about, like, hi, how are you? How's your tour?
This is a radio. I found
feeling?
That out. I got that from Alex.
Like, you're not asking me. You're just trying to get dirt immediately. You know, I've been drinking at the show, and you think you could just get a bunch of dirt from me, Mr. Sharpling?
I got that stuff from Alex already. Don't worry. We plugged your dates
yeah,
already.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, I just wanted to say thank you for having me on your show.
You're
I respect
sweetheart.
You and what you do.
I respect
and
you
everything
too.
You say and what you mean. And
well, you're
you've always been
dude.
Very kind to us. And
of
I appreciate
course.
It.
You have a grand evening.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to hand you back to Alex real quick.
Okay.
Bye, everybody. Good Bye. Luck. Enjoy the show.
Okay.
And with that, Tom.
All right. Tell him to not be so crabby. I'll pour some hot butter on that crab next time I see him.
All right. Oh, my gosh.
You have
I'll
a
crab over
okay.
here.
Okay. Well, see you soon.
Any other questions before we
No.
Race?
Go rock.
Okay. Thank
Bye.
You, everybody. White history forever. Bye.
I don't know. That guy was crabby. I love him. I got to get this stuff here. What do you think? Is it a sewing circle? We take our time here? No. I want the good stuff. Want to hear about his sister making him go pick a switch in the yard. Yeah, don't bother Paul Simon. I decided now. Don't go to the show with an air horn. That was a bad call. Because thinking through, if it sounded like, if I was a huge Paul Simon fan, and I'm watching him, right? And he's up there playing, like, one of my favorite songs.
And she don't try to hide it. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. He's a poor boy.
I wouldn't be into that.
Empty as a pocket, he's empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. Say ta-na-na,
ta-na-na, ta-na-na. I would not like that. I'm pulling that one off the table. Best show, hi.
Hey, this is Mike from Toronto.
Mike from Toronto, what do you got for me, buddy?
All right, this is Saturday Night Live, starring Darius Miles.
Darius Born Miles from the Clippers. Darius Miles
and the Blazers.
I'm gonna say this: you're still alive. You're doing maybe the worst Don Pardo I've ever heard.
Thank you.
Darius Miles keeps you alive for two more.
Lawrence Funderburk.
That keeps you alive for one more past the two. So you got
Joel Prisbilla.
Okay, you're still alive.
Featuring Hubie Brown.
So Hubie Brown is a featured cast member. The 88-year-old.
He's still trying out.
Yeah.
Musical guest, Mark Farner.
Okay, Mark Farner from, what, Three Dog Night?
He was Grand Funk Railroad, and now he's an accomplished Christian musician.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And your host, Malcolm Gladwell.
Okay, you did very well. I'll say this: you're scrappy.
I gotta hire a ring.
Your impression is the pits, the absolute bottom of the barrel. But you wrote the fact that you just listed all these NBA guys. Isn't it always funny when you watch, like, Hubie Brown, and he's my favorite guy, and he's always just like, look, the thing you realize, LeBron James is a player that has to have the ball in his hands all the time. And so he's going to come down the floor, and he's looking to just distribute. So you got to have, he's got the most, like the way he is, like, so matter-of-fact, it's the great. This announcer for the NBA is 100.
Just because he's old, yeah, people take him seriously. Just saying the most obvious, yeah.
But he's great. He still is great. He says things. I think some of his things are not obvious, though. Like, he'll just say, like, the usage rate on LeBron. Like, God, okay, you're done. Bye. 201-332-3484. We're doing the Night of 1,000 Pardos. We're seeing what's up tonight here with you calling up as Don Pardo and doing your impression. And you get one through, then we'll see what you see if you can stay alive. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom. My name is Charlie. I'm in Washington, D.C.
Charlie in Washington, D.C. What's up, Charlie?
So I got something for the Night of 1,000 Pardos.
Let's hear it.
And your host, Steve Sciarippa.
Okay, Steve Sciarippa from Sopranos.
Musical guest, R. Crumb and his cheap suit serenaders.
That's very good. That's the kind of garbage that they would have had on in the 70s, right?
I know, it's not that much of a stretch, right?
When they had that one loser on. What was that guy's name? Foghorn Leghorn? What was that guy's name? That guy? Leon Redbone. The guy was like, the guy who did the Mr. Belvedere theme. Frank's down your kitchen. That stage is so good. I said, the guy's about to mount on. You remember that guy?
It's kind of like Tony Randall, Vivodio Doe.
No, Tony Randall's album, Vivodio Doe, him doing songs from the 20s, has nothing to do with Leon Redbone's thing. Tony Randall's was just like, Winchester Cathedral. Thou bringing me down. No, his was more like, Alice doesn't live here anymore. She's a young woman, the one in the fall. Like, he sang in that thing. But that Leon Redbone was always like, Vang round the wall, blah, blah, blah.
It was more like that Michigan J. Frog.
No
Leon
one liked
Redbone.
That. No one liked that stuff. Some phony baloney guy walking around. That's like dirty pot smoker music. Like, when I was a kid, I was just like, yeah, it's dirty pot smokers. And I, like, I didn't even know what that meant at that point. When I'm seeing this as a child, I'm just like, yeah, that seems like filthy pot smokers. And I had no
experience to judge pot smoking as a positive or negative thing, like, or hippies or anything. I knew nothing. I knew Spider-Man. I knew Spider-Man and that seemed dirty and drug, like people doing drugs. This is a 6-year-old. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Best show, hi.
Hi, this is Matt in Minneapolis. I have
a show. Gotta get you a little muffly there, Chief.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Is that any better?
A little better. All right, what do you got? What do you got for me?
Oh, sorry, I'm in touch.
What do you got for me, Mumbles?
Okay, so here we go. Hey, from New York. It's Saturday Night Live. Musical guest, Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla, and your host, Avalanche Bob. Ladies and gentlemen, Avalanche.
You're out of here. See, this is the crime of the whole thing. Guy calls up with some of the best material. Musical guest Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla. First of all, it's weird that he didn't have Avalanche Bob as the musical guest on the show.
Musical guest Avalanche Bob and your host.
Because this guy, Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla, was a radio thing. When Dudio was like he used to be an old-fashioned DJ. In West Virginia, he was like a DJ and was always like doing these carnival events and like things that are just very strange. And at one point, he did a thing with a gorilla or something. I barely pay it. He talks about it. To be honest, I glaze over whenever he starts talking about it. I think he co-hosted with a gorilla once or something. I don't know. Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla. Best show, hi.
With special guest, Sean Clements.
Oh, I like that. Keep going.
And featuring Gary Shandling.
All right, keep going.
And your host, America's Mayor, Rudy Giuliani.
Very good. What's your name, young man?
Kevin.
Where are you calling from, Kevin?
Kalamazoo.
Kevin from Kalamazoo. Top notch.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
Give me one more.
And musical guest, Bruce Hornsby in the Range.
Keep going. Keep going. You're hot. You're hot. Keep going.
Featuring A. Whitney Brown.
Keep going. You're good. It's like that NBA Jam game where the ball would catch on fire. Right now, the basketball's on fire. Keep going.
And special guest, Bill Lambier.
Keep going. You're going. You got it.
And Adrian Dantley.
All right, now you're out of here. Adrian Dantley. They'll think they throw a basketball player at me. I'm just going to swoon. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. How's it going?
It's going well. To whom am I speaking?
My name's Brian. I'm calling from Hoboken.
Brian from Hoboken. 07030.
You know it.
What do you got for me? From the Mile Square City, we got Brian in Hoboken.
Just got a quick Don Pardo for you.
Let's hear it.
It's Saturday Night Live with Susan Faludi.
Okay, very good. Keep going.
Tony Kukoc.
Okay.
Marky Post.
Very good.
Aranxta Sanchez Vicario.
Okay. You're hot. Keep going.
Norman Schwarzkopf.
Keep going.
Sal Volcano.
Okay. You're doing good. Keep going.
Ed Christine Todd Whitman.
Give me two more.
Musical guest. Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. And your host, J.K.
You did it. You represented Hoboken so well, young man. This is what you
Thank
do.
Thank you very much.
You go and you reward yourself. You walk down the street. You go right down Washington Street and you go get yourself, go to that first Blimpies. Is that still there?
It's not there anymore.
Okay, then forget that. Go to Benny Tudino's. There's this pizza place where the slices are as big as your head. Are they good? Not really. But you sure get a lot of it.
You absolutely do.
The thing is, it's like, look at the size of that slice. Yeah, it's $7. All they're doing is slicing a pizza in three. They're actually overcharging you because they charged you $7 for a third of a cheese pizza.
It's 100% true.
Yeah, that's why I said it. Am I a liar? Brian, you go there, you go there, and you get that slice, and you go, you sit down, you go to the garbage can, and you take off the auto trader off the top of it, you look at cars that you're not going to buy, and you sit there, you eat the slice, and I'm sure they have a playing on the TV, either Fox News or a soccer game. Seems to be at every pizzeria. It's either a soccer game or Fox News playing. How does any business think that any, this is the thing, I'm not even saying like, I hate Fox News, but I'm saying, I don't want to watch CNBC or any restaurant. Why would you put any political thing on anywhere? I don't want to see that. I want to sit in peace from, trying to escape from stuff. Got to put the thing on. I got to be a pizzeria. I got to watch Judge Jeannie Pirro talking. Is she still Judge Jeannie Pirro?
I don't think she's still a judge.
Who cares? I don't care. I don't care about any of them. The what's his face? The one guy I don't care about. The what's his face? The guy with the white hair on CNN. I don't care about him. I don't care about Judge Jeannie Pirro. I just want to eat my pizza, and I want to read this auto trader in peace and look at motorcycles that people are selling in the area that I'm never going to buy in a million years. But I forgot my book. I forgot a magazine. And on my phone, I don't have any books on my phone right now, so I'm going to read this auto trader in peace. Put the soccer game on. Somewhere, these channels pick up some kind of soccer game going on somewhere on the globe, right?
There's got to be a sport on someplace.
Yeah, put something on. Put Two Broke Girls on. I'll watch that. Actually, just shut the TV off for a minute. We can have a conversation. Actually, I don't want to talk to the guy at the pizzeria either. Look, I'll go eat the pizza in my car, okay? Just give it to me to go. I'll go eat it in the car.
You can't fit it in those bags, though. Pizza's so big.
White bag. They put the slice in a white bag. They grease the bag, soaked through within 30 seconds. Just, wait, this was going to be, if I got that to eat here, that would have been inside me? The bag is like a caution tape around the bag. Like hazmat tape around. It's like a Superfund site, this bag. And if I would have eaten this pizza 30 seconds earlier in your place, I would have just digested all of that grease. Thank you. You did yourself proud. You did Hoboken proud tonight.
I appreciate
tonight,
it.
Tonight, your name Every goes night. In the rolls next to Sinatra, the invention of baseball, Frank Sinatra, and you.
Am I above the cake boss?
You're above cake boss. And Mike is saying that the Blimpies in Hoboken is still open, but I'm saying it's not the original Blimpies. The first Blimpies ever was in Hoboken. Is it, Mike? They relocated. So technically, it's not Blimpy Base 1. It used to say Blimpy Base 1 outside. So, thank you.
Frank's down the kitchen, never bother no more. When you drop kick your dinner, round the table on the floor.
That's what I want. What that guy's doing. Sign him. What? Really? Who? The Mushmouth over there? Sign him?
Streaks on the China, never met her before.
One of the most exciting moments of my life was I was about to go pitch something at a network. And I'm in the waiting room, and I look across, no joke, I say to myself, holy bleep, that's Bryce Bleepin Beckingham, I think his name was. Is that his name? The kid from Mr. Belvedere, Wesley, was in that waiting room with me. That's Bryce. I'm saying to myself, that's Bryce Bleepin' Beckham. The kid who Mr. Belvedere was always like, Wesley. He'd be like, hey, Mr. Belvedere. Make me a sandwich.
Wesley, I'm not making you a sandwich.
You make it.
Well, I don't know if that's exactly what the dynamic was.
But he, I spotted that kid in the thing. I was never so excited in all my life. I hope he sold his show. Whatever you were pitching, Bryce Bleepin' Beckham, I hope you sold it. I certainly didn't sell mine. That's why I'm here. First thing I sell, man, I throw this equipment right in the street. That's when you'll know I sold a show. When I drag this equipment in the street, cars are driving over it. Best show, hi.
Hello?
Hello, hi.
Hey, got a Don Pardo for you.
What's your name now?
This is Patrick.
Patrick, where are you calling from?
Calling from South Carolina.
South Carolina, let's hear it.
Musical guest. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Okay, keep going.
And a cartoon by Harmony Korine.
Okay, very good. Keep going.
Featuring the Trachtenberg Family Slideshow Players.
Go.
With Bruce Valanche.
All right.
Marina Abramovich.
All right.
And your host, the Sonic Guys.
That would be a great episode. Who is the musical guest?
King Gizzard.
So it would be an episode of SNL where the Sonic Guys are on stage, and at one point the Sonic Guys go, "We got a great show for you tonight. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. What is it again?
King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Yeah, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard are here. We'll be right back.
But first, a cartoon by Harmony Korine.
Yeah, well, I'm not showing a cartoon that early in the show. What are you, crazy? Remember when Donald Trump first hosted SNL? Do you remember the musical guest? He said, "We've got a great show for you tonight. Toots and the Maytals are here."
Oh, no.
Yes, he literally said that.
Wow.
Bye. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
This is Jacob in Philadelphia.
Jacob in Philadelphia. Do I know this Jacob?
Yeah, you've been on my podcast, and we met at a Destroyer show.
Ah, yes, this is a good guy. This is a good guy, Mike. Good guy. And let me just say the phone number, 201-332-3484, as we are moving into hour three of our night of 1,000 Pardos. And you call up, you do your Don Pardo impression, and we see how hot you can get. What do you got for me, Jake?
Before I do it, can I tell you what movie I saw today?
Can I guess? Did you see it in the theater?
Yes.
Was it Uncle Drew?
No, I did see that, though, and I liked it a lot.
Did you see Mission Impossible Fallout?
No. I can't wait to see it, though.
Did you see... I watched all 5 Mission Impossible movies this week.
They're all so good, right?
Yeah, all except for the second. The second one's okay. Second one is... Anything that's not great about the second one is canceled out by the fact that it made... It was a formative thing for the creation of Decker. So a lot of Decker seems to be based on the second Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah, yeah, just dumb 90s action.
Rank the movie. This is what I'm going to say to you right now. Give me the order, best to worst. I'm going to write mine down now, and then we'll see if they overlap. Hold on. Let me see mine.
I've been thinking about this all month. Yeah, I've been rewatching them. I think 5 is my favorite.
Wait, you figure them out. I'm writing mine now. Okay, I got mine. We'll go at the same time.
Okay.
5.
5.
Then we go to what comes next?
4.
4. Then what comes next? 1.
3. 1. Okay.
You're just counting down. You were just going counting. I go 5, 4, 1, 3, 2.
I go 5, 4, 3, 1, 2.
Yeah. All right.
But 4 is really good. They're all really good.
They're really good. And they're really stupid, too. They're really stupid. So if anybody's just like, those are dumb, it's like, yeah, no. Nobody's saying they're not dumb. They're just the absolute best made action movies you could have.
Agreed. Except for John Wick, but a different kind of action movie.
Look, when they get to, we'll see how the third one is on that, and then maybe we'll see. Look, that's the fun part about this. It's the reason to stay alive, is for things like this. So what movie did you see today? Let me think. Hereditary.
No, but loved it.
I'm scared to see that.
It's really good. It was a fun movie to see in the theater.
Sorry for bothering you.
Nope. Also liked it a lot.
Can't wait to see it. You saw... Deadpool 2.
No, didn't like that so much. A guy behind me talked the whole time.
Well, that's not Deadpool's fault.
Then
what else did you see?
I saw Mamma Mia today. I loved it.
Oh, that's right. So Mamma Mia, here we go again.
Great. Better than the first one. I love ABBA. I don't know what there's not to like about it.
I got to see this Mamma Mia 2. You saw it?
Yeah, it was great. I have movie pass. I love going to the movie.
Dudio saw it. You liked it? You liked it better than Dudio agrees? You liked it better than the first one? Well, I'm going to go see it. So, let's hear your Don Parda.
Okay. After all that, it's not going to be good. Musical guest, Daniel Day-Lewis, with your host, the Dixie Chicks.
All right, you're out of here. Look, good guy. Agree with him on everything. This Don Pardo is lacking. Best show, hi.
Hey, what's up, Tom?
Not a whole lot. To whom am I speaking?
This is Bobby from New Jersey.
Bobby from New Jersey. Where are you calling from, Bobby?
I'm in Rutherford.
Rutherford, out there by the old... The racetrack. And then the...
Not too far. It's down the street.
Not too far. Then you got the... You know what's crazy is that arena, what used to be the Brendan Byrne Arena, now is just a place where people rehearse for things. Did you know that?
I didn't. That was... I saw my first concert there, actually.
And who was your first concert?
Bruce Springsteen, of course.
Yes. Because people now go and they rehearse their tours there. Like, they can get all the effects and all that stuff and kind of get the mechanics worked out there.
I think it was voted, like, the ugliest arena in sports before the Nets moved.
It was not a great arena. It was super huge and very hollow and, yeah.
Dark.
Yes. So what do you got for me, Chief?
Musical guest, JD and the Straight Shot.
Okay.
And your host, James Dolan.
So in your thing, and first of all, your Don Pardo is the worst we've had tonight, I'm going to say. But I want to say this. In your demented fantasy, James Dolan, owner of the Knicks, is doing double duty on SNL. Double duty.
Falling in Childish Gambino's footsteps?
Yes, and Justin Timberlake, Childish Gambino. Who else has had that honor? Garth Brooks did it with Chris Gaines.
Musical guest Chris Gaines and your host Garth Brooks.
And then
Garth Brooks had like that classic sketch with Will Ferrell where he was the devil.
Yes. That was a good one, right? That was funny when he was on. And then who was also the, did Ariana Grande do the same thing?
Did she do that, or did she just pop up in a bunch of sketches?
I think she might have done double duty. It's great to see she's getting married to Pete Davidson.
Yep.
Yeah, seems like he's
very healthy.
He's ready to make us laugh. He seems like he's really got. He's really dedicated to comedy right now.
I think he quit social media for the 10th time today.
I'm about to quit for the 9th time, so I can't judge him too harshly. But no, look, whatever. Just be funny, would you? Would you just focus on, come up with a couple new characters, would you? That's all. You're breathing a little too heavy. Get off my phone. I feel like it's 2001 and I'm, going through the capsule here with Hal. Dave, please. I should have got that guy to call back up and breathe like that. I could have talked like Hal. Don't do this, Dave. Please. Best Show, hi.
Hi. Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Adam in Toronto.
Adam in Toronto. Do I know this Adam?
No. I've called only once before.
Okay. Well, I know you now. What's up, Adam?
I got a Pardo for you.
Let's hear it.
It's Saturday Night Live featuring Brendan Fraser.
Okay, so he's in the cast now.
Of course.
Okay, keep going.
Okay. Sharon Osbourne.
Okay. Another cast member?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
John Lithgow.
Keep going.
An animation by Hanna-Barbera.
So they've fallen on hard times and are providing cartoons for Saturday Night Live. Now keep going.
Okay. A dance competition featuring Bob Barker and Louis Anderson.
Okay. I'd like to see that. Who's the musical guest?
Musical guest, Bruce Willis.
Okay, and?
And your host, Paul Hogan.
This is a pretty good episode. Paul Hogan, Bruce Willis, musical guest. John Lithgow and Sharon Osbourne are in the cast. Hanna-Barbera providing a new cartoon. There's a dance competition portion of SNL now, which is a new segment.
I don't remember seeing that, but I thought it might, I don't know. Could
okay.
help.
My friend, you did it. Thank you. Play some music. Did the pizza show up? Did you vultures eat all of it? I'll play some music by Car Seat Headrest. Fest Show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. The number 201-332-3484 here on The Best Show. What was that? Car Seat Headrest. Fill in the blank from the album from a couple years ago, Teens in Denial. Teens of Denial on Matador Records. And Matador is always nice to the show, and we love Matador. And yeah, we're in the final 45 minutes of the Night of a Thousand Pardos, where people are calling up, doing their Jimmy Pardo. No, they're Don. Look, you want to do a Jimmy Pardo impression? I don't care. Ha ha! Call up 201-332-3484. We've had a couple hot streaks tonight with this. Best Show, hi.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night with your host, Don Pardo.
Oh, you're the host of your own show.
Yes.
Keep going.
They gave me the gig.
Keep going.
40 years.
All right, I'm waiting. Let's hear more. Nothing? Okay. Fair enough. You're the host. You don't got to bring much more to the table than that. Best Show, hi.
Hey there, Caroline in Brooklyn calling. I've got one for the topic.
Oh, let's hear it. How are you tonight, by the way?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well.
Yeah, how have the Pardos been? I was on the bus, so I couldn't tune in.
They've been really good. It's been a fun show.
Shucks, it sounds like I've got some pretty stiff competition.
Wow, look. It's not a competition. It's just a fun thing we're doing. We're having a good old-fashioned time the way they used to do back in the old days of radio, where it would be the show would be sponsored by Bisquick or something like that, and then you'd
Chesterfield
have
cigarettes.
Exactly. It yeah, we're in one of the, that's kind of where we're at right now.
All right. I'm feeling it. I love those shows.
So let's hear what you got, Carolyn.
Okay, pardon me. And featuring Tony Buba.
Who?
Tony Buba.
Who's Tony Buba?
I picked him for two reasons. One, he's got a great name that sounds good in a Pardo voice. And two, he used to work with George Romero. He's a Pennsylvania, you know, small-time filmmaker.
Okay. Tony Buba is the musical guest?
He's a featured player.
Featured player.
Yeah. Right,
give me one
he's
more.
He's on camera. One more?
Yeah.
Musical guest, the Isley Brothers.
Carolyn, very good.
Thanks, Tom.
You have a great night.
You too.
Thanks. Best Show, hi.
Hey, I just have a Pardo for you.
What's your name now?
This is Mark from Boston.
Mark from Boston. What's up tonight, Mark?
Not much. Just listening to hundreds of Pardos.
Yeah.
Thousands.
Well, let's hear what you got, Chief.
Featuring Kevin Corrigan.
Okay, Kevin Corrigan. I like that. Kevin Corrigan's in the cast.
Musical guest, Richard Hell and the Voidoids.
Okay.
With your host, Peter Dinklage.
All right. That's a good episode. Peter Dinklage, Richard Hell, and Kevin Corrigan's in the cast. Very good. You have a great night, buddy. Best Show, hi.
Hey, this is Daniel in Brooklyn.
Daniel in Brooklyn. What neighborhood are you in, Daniel?
I'm in Williamsburg.
All right. Let's hear what you got, buddy.
All right.
Featuring LT.
Lawrence Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, so New York Giant legend Lawrence Taylor is in the cast of the show.
He's a performer.
Okay. He's a featured player. Keep going.
Federico Castelluccio.
Who's that now?
Furio from The Sopranos.
Okay. So Furio and LT. This is one of those transition years for SNL.
Yeah.
Clearly. Keep going.
Carol Spinney.
Carol Spinney from the Monty Python sketches. Oh no, Carol Spinney is Big Bird.
Big Bird.
That's right. I'm thinking of Carol Cleveland. Keep going.
Musical guest, Anthony Kiedis and the E Street Band.
That begs 500 questions when you find out that Anthony Kiedis is fronting the E Street Band right now. Then there are questions like, did Bruce Springsteen fire the E Street Band? Is Bruce Springsteen still alive? Why is Anthony Kiedis solo now? What happened to the other Red Hot Chili Peppers? Are the E Street Band cool with this, or is this a temporary thing? That is, you just created the biggest question mark imaginable, that suddenly you'd be like, what's going on? Why is Anthony Kiedis fronting the, oh my God, keep going.
And your host, Ernie Anastas.
Local newsman, Ernie Anastas. You. Well, what's your name again?
Daniel.
Daniel, where are you calling from?
Brooklyn.
That's right. Daniel? You just stole my heart away, Daniel. You just captured my heart. Very funny young man. Mate. That was great. That was unbelievable. Can you believe that, Mike? You like that? E Street Band. He's with the Bruce Springsteen's gone. And now who knows why? I don't know. That was great. That charmed me to no end. I don't know what to say to that. I loved it. That made my night. Damn. Anthony Kiedis and the E Street Band. Who would have thunk it? Right? That's weird. But, you know, stranger things have happened. Wait, is that why that show's called Stranger Things?
It's just not that.
Last time with my whip.
not a pleasant story. Let's just say the matter was taken into my hands. In the hand of my whip. And let's just say my neighborhood is a lot quieter than it was. And that the neighborhood children are a lot safer now. Here. You're on Whip Talk. Tonight's topic. Your final whip. The last whip you'll ever need. What do you need in a final whip? So much of whip selection comes down to the purpose of the whip. A whip handler should avoid moves like a forward crack. Because there's a long setup involved in a forward crack. And you telegraph your intentions to your opponent. Unless you're a master whipsman. And when I say whipsman, that is not a gender-specific label. Anyone can become a whip master. Anyone. This is not something determined by gender or race or creed or nationality. It comes down to grit and determination and steely-eyed coldness. That is all it takes to become a whip master. Anyone has it. I tend to think if you have the whip gene, that means when that whip is in your hand and your foe stands across from you, would you be willing to swing that whip, to crack that whip, to take your opponent out with the whip? Would you be willing? That is what makes a whip master. If anyone tries to tell you that whips are for men or for women or for anyone, they're lying to you. The only person a whip is meant for is a whipmaster. I see these other people holding whips, using whips, and it sickens me. They use them for comedic purposes. Whips, this is not Raiders of the Lost Ark, where you're swinging a whip around like a cartoon character, trying to impress people. You're not snapping a cigarette out of someone's mouth. That is not what you do with a whip. Although I could do that, and have done that. It is not what I do with a whip. And it definitely should not be what you do with a whip. For I know the power of a whip. I've been on the wrong side of a whip. I felt the sting of a whip as I stunned my foe. And I felt the sting of a whip as I was stung by my foe. A whip is not a toy. A whip is not a laughing matter. If you choose a whip as your means of defense or offense, primarily both, when push comes to shove, the whip is a means for the whipper to whip, and for the whipped to get whipped. That is how whips work. You either are the one with the whip, or you're the one getting the whip. If you're fighting someone with a knife, and you are brandishing a whip, you can prevent them from moving inside what I call the danger zone by matching them, taking their own strength away from them. They have a knife, you have a whip. Then take out a knife as well. Now you have a whip and a knife. Now there's no such thing as a danger zone. And as you know, that whip and knife techniques have long been a part of Filipino martial arts, such as Kali. One form of whip traditionally used is the Buntot Paji, or the tail of a stingray. The poison was left in the sting, making this a particularly vicious weapon. These are the roots of the whip. The history of the whip. You should respect that history. You should respect the whip. Because if a whipmaster holds a whip, you will learn to respect the whip. We are talking about your final whip. Some people want to know about a snake whip. I find a snake whip to be relatively unreliable. In terms of self-defense, that's its best use because, as you know, it has two metal rings at the handle end, which allow for the whip to be fastened around your waist and used as a belt. But keep in mind, unless you're willing to put in the time and learn how to become one with the whip, you're better off leaving the whip behind and utilizing a more practical form of self-defense, such as pepper spray or a blackjack. Because if you don't know the whip, the whip will not save you when it's time to whip. 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 Albert. My brother-in-law, Albert. We had a disagreement. He entered my whip chamber uninvited. He startled me. I was in the middle of cleaning my whips, and I lashed out. Albert was met by the sting of one of my whips, and he is mad at me. I would apologize to you, Albert, for one thing and one thing only. I could have chosen to not whip you across the face. Instead of whipping you in a more debilitating place, such as the crotch or the chin. But I lashed you across the face because you startled me and I wanted to send a message. Albert, understand one thing. I apologize for where I whipped you. But I will never apologize for whipping you because you entered my whip chamber. And he who was not invited into my whip chamber will surely find himself whipped. Please. When you're practicing whipping, especially when you're considering your final whip, it is important to consider your foe will most likely be holding a knife. Firearms are far less common in close combat. You You can remove a knife from a hand with a whip. But it is not the low percent. It is not a high percentage move. It is a low percentage move. In that case, the whip still can be your friend. The butt end of the whip makes a perfectly effective club. And if you've learned any moves like from jiu-jitsu or karate, you can combine those techniques and consider the whip handle to be no different than a nunchuck. Sure, you do not have the crack of the whip, which is effective in terms of sending a message that you mean business. The crack of a whip can most definitely control a group. They don't hear you. You crack the whip. Suddenly, everyone knows you are there. So when selecting your final whip, please keep in mind what Gail Nemeth from Queensland, Australia has always promoted. The renowned whip maker. When it comes to contact whip fighting, the contestants in Australia, which is a rough continent, a very whip friendly continent, and by whip friendly I mean friendly to the whip master, unfriendly to the whipped. Consider a full length duster, limiting the area where a whip can register maximum contact and sting. Trust me, you will regret being on the wrong end of a whip, especially one brandished by a whipmaster. Albert, if I ever catch you in my whip chamber again, I will not hesitate to swing my whip and crack my whip across your throat. And you will most definitely shuffle off this mortal coil by the hand of my whip. I should mention that today's episode of Whip Talk is sponsored by Audible. Over 100,000 titles available, including the new Sync Start, which can translate your Kindle.
About you returning for a third film in the series? And if you do, will you be cutting Tom Sharpling from that movie too?
Well,
Alhambra Police. Okay, and your name, sir? D'Souza. Adriano. Alhambra. Okay, and your boss's name? D'Souza. It's, Phil Spector. Alhambra. I'm sorry? D'Souza. Phil Spector. Alhambra. Seal? D'Souza. Spector. Alhambra. Seal Inspector? D'Souza. Yeah. Phil Spector. Alhambra. That's his name? D'Souza. Yes. Alhambra. S-E-A-L. D'Souza. P-H-I-L. Alhambra. C-H. D'Souza. Spectre. Alhambra. I-L. Is he Asian or white or D'Souza? Sorry? Alhambra. Is he male, white, or Asian? Is he an Asian person, a Hispanic person, or a white person? D'Souza. No, it's a white person. Alhambra. And his name is Chill? C-H-I-L. D'Souza. Yeah. P-H-I-L. Alhambra. Oh. Phil. D'Souza. Phil. Yeah. Alhambra. Phil Spector? Okay.
Musical guest Robert.
I can't do it. That's not working. All right, let's go back. Best show. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. I have a Don Pardo impression.
Let's hear it.
Starring Pig Champion.
Okay, Pig Champion from Poison Idea is now what, in the cast?
Yeah, that's starring.
Okay, go ahead.
Featuring BB Rebozo.
Okay, BB Rebozo, the Nixon secretary. Watergate, right?
That's the one.
Okay, keep going.
And featuring Brian O'Halloran.
From Clerks.
Musical guest, Dag Nasty.
Okay, Dag Nasty.
And your host, Blackula.
All right, very good. Very excited that Pig Champion is in the cast on SNL. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, this is Brad from Portland.
Brad from Portland. What's up, Brad?
Just having a wonderful hot night here in Portland, Oregon.
Hot night in Portland, huh?
Oh, yeah. But I guess what I got for you, I got some good guests and musical guests.
Just go, Brad. It's all yours.
All right. Tonight's musical guest, Juicy J, 8-Ball, and MJG, with host Steve-O.
So Steve-O is hosting. All right.
With, members of 3-6 Mafia, because I always figured that it's funny that Don Pardo had no idea about the music he was announcing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no, he would get stuff wrong a fair amount of the time.
And it was just funny to me that some, God rest his soul, older gentleman was announcing music and guests that he probably had no interaction with or how to, he was probably looking at the script just wondering what he was even saying at some point.
What do you think when he's looking at the thing and suddenly he's got to go, musical guest, the Baha Men? What do you think? Think he was cranking Who Let the Dogs Out all week?
No.
No,
you're right. That's the funniest part to me, is all those guests, and he was saying, M.I.A.
Yeah.
He has a copy of a ruler.
Yes, he was sitting there. He's sitting there staring at it. He's flipping through his vinyl.
Exactly.
All right, Brad. Bye. Best show.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Zach, the Z-Man.
Oh, Z-Man, I love this.
Yeah, I just wanted to get in on the Pardo fun.
Yeah, now this, for people who don't know, let me just explain. We've got some regulars who call this show. In this way, the show's like Cheers, where there's just the regulars who sidle up to the bar and the, you can kind of, can you recognize, you know their face and you like seeing them and you're excited to have them. They're like an old friend. And, that's who this guy is. He's an old friend. Not to me, but, to others from what I hear. No, of course, to me. Z-Man, he's got a puppet named, Wally Wacky Man, who is a puppet that he found and lent a voice to, and he runs around with this puppet, and they prank people. Like, he knocks on car windows, and then the puppet, him and his friend, film this, and he'll do like these pranks where you'll be like sitting in traffic at like a red light in New York, and then suddenly he crawls next to your car, and the friend goes to the other side of the car through passenger side, films it, and then he like bangs on your window really hard, and you turn, you're like, oh, and then the puppet jumps up and just screams. Which is not exactly what I thought Wally Wacky Man, I guess it's maybe the best use of him.
Yeah, we're taking a page out of Connor O'Malley playbook.
I never thought I'd hear Wally Wacky Man and Connor O'Malley mentioned in the same breath, but here we go. Connor O'Malley, he's that guy's crazy as a bleep house rat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I've seen.
Crazy as a bleep house rat, but I love him. I love him. He'll be in here soon.
Cool.
He'll be in here soon. So Z-Man, let's get back to the matter at hand. Do you have a Don Pardo impression to do?
Yeah, no, it sounds like, are we supposed to be pitching like a whole lineup?
You do whatever you want. You do whatever comes natural to you.
Okay.
There's no right or wrong with this.
Okay. Musical guest. Hoobastank.
Okay.
That's all I got.
That's
I
all you got.
That would be a fun one to say.
What if this was the episode of SNL? What if you're home watching SNL suddenly you're like, live from New York, it's Saturday night, right? Suddenly it's like the music kicks in and you hear, it's Saturday Night Live. Feature it, like, with the not ready. Do they still say that? Not ready for, right?
I don't think they've said that in a long time.
Yeah, it's been about 40 years since it's said. But suddenly then they go. They just name Muppets, then what would you do?
Well, I mean, they were on the original cast.
No, but this not those trash Muppets. Nobody liked those 7-foot Muppets. Nobody liked the 7-foot Muppets.
Yeah, we've discussed this before.
So it's not them. So I'm just saying it's not them. But they go, Kermit the Frog, right? Miss Piggy, Beaker, right? The Swedish Chef. Does he have a name, or is that his name?
No, that's his name.
And then what if they go, and then musical guest, Dr. Teeth, and your host. Right, who'd be the host? Who'd be a good host for this Muppet, Muppet thing? Right? Tom Green. Right? Would you watch that episode?
Yeah, I probably would check it out.
Now, where some guy called and said Carol Spinney earlier.
Oh, yeah?
As somebody in the cast of SNL. He suggested Carol Spinney would be in the cast. But I said to him, this guy's getting up there.
Yeah, I don't think he's really much even in the cast of Sesame Street these days.
Yeah. I saw him do big... I saw an episode, and Big Bird was sitting there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And was just kind of sitting there. Like, it was just sitting, like... It was kind of just, like, waving, like, his arms around a little bit. But the head was kind of slumped, and it would slump back a lot. Like, whoa. Like, this costume's a little too heavy for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And now, it's just, this is something I've heard, and this is a horrible thing. This is the dark side of this puppet world.
Okay.
When these guys get up there in age, is it true that some have passed away in the costumes and that they can't find them?
Oh, God. Not that I've heard.
I heard that with Snuffleupagus, what's his name, Snuffleupagus?
What is Snuffleupagus?
Snuffleupagus. What is it?
Help me. We'll go with that.
No, I'm not teasing this time. Snuffleupagus. No, what is it?
Snuffleupagus.
With Snuffleupagus, that took four people, right, to operate. I heard that they forgot one of the guys was in there because he had he liked to kind of hotbox himself within the Snuffleupagus costume. So he would go in there, smoke himself out, and then that he died in there. But since there's like 100 of those costumes, they forgot which one he was in. And they even stopped looking past the first 50 because nobody wants to find him at this point.
Maybe that's a obscure tale of Muppet lore that I wasn't aware of.
Yeah. Well, you should look into that because that's the whole story with... That's why you don't see Snuffleupagus on the show as much anymore.
Okay, I'll check Muppet Wiki and the fan community.
Because they don't want to find the corpse of the one guy who was hotboxing himself inside the costume.
Of course.
And again, I can't say this enough. I am sorry to you. I want to apologize to you.
I thought we got over that.
No, we didn't. No, I want to make sure everybody hears this. This is what I want. Let's just make sure everybody hears it. I blew it with you. I blew it.
I wouldn't say that.
No. Don't be a hero now. Don't try to be a tough guy. You were smeared on this show. Your reputation was smeared. Your character was smeared. Your judgment, all of that was smeared. When I falsely inferred that you went to take your toddler to go see a screening of The Warriors, which is not true. It was not true at all.
No.
Not true at all. I apologize. I was given some faulty recon on that. I will fire whoever did it. I did not fire anyone yet. An investigation is underway to figure out who told me that this happened. And okay. I'm saying this, when I figure out who this person is, God help me when I get my hands on them. God help me. Because they're going down. For smearing, and until the investigation is concluded, I am suspending all Best Show activity.
Oh no!
In the name of you, Z-Man.
Oh boy!
The show, for all intents and purposes, does not exist anymore. It is over. Until I find out the perpetrator of this lie. Wait, I'm getting a... Mike just handed me a piece of paper. Mike has admitted that it was him.
that's Brenda's fault. No. Mike, you're fired. You're fired, Mike. You're out of here. Wait, Mike's handing me another piece of paper. He said it wasn't him. Okay. Mike, I want to apologize to you as well for the faulty data I was given. Well, he just handed me another piece of paper. It says I didn't write what was on that first piece. He said some guy handed it to him. So if I got to find out who that guy is. Now, I know you're fired up. You're fired up about superhero movies. That's something, that's one of your passions, right?
Yeah, I like that stuff. I like the comics. I like the movies.
When you saw the trailer, you must have seen the trailer for this Aquaman movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I heard you can already get your money back. Like, you can already get refunds. It doesn't come out till December, but they're already giving, like, refunds for people who thought it sucked. I never saw a movie more CGI'd in my life. I've seen screensavers with less CGI than that movie. Nobody wants to see that.
I mean, I honestly thought it was a step up from some of the stuff DC put out.
Yeah, but what's that mean? So you'll eat a hamburger that's the hamburger that they gave before had mold and flies on it. This one just has mold on it.
pretty much,
it's a step up, right?
Yep. Did you see the Shazam one?
Yeah, that looks like it's for children. That's not for me.
Mm.
I mean, it's like big with a cape.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah. And big is a movie. Big's not for me. That was not for me at the time. It was a sick movie. You couldn't make that movie now.
Yeah, I've read things sick. Where they kind of break down.
Yeah, it's sick.
The ending and how there's some disturbing stuff if you really think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take that much thought to realize that the child inside the adult body's hooking up with the adult lady.
Yeah.
Some sick business going on there. These Hollywood sickos, Z-Man.
Mm-hmm.
You're one of them. Look, you're one of you and your Muppet buddies are all sick. You're one sicker than the next.
I don't know if I lump myself in that crowd, at least not yet, but there's time.
There's Carol Spinney and then the David Prowse, that guy. You're all sick. You this David Prowse, he's still not running around in the Darth Vader costume, right?
I don't believe so.
Right?
Though as far as I know, he still autographs as David Prowse is Darth Vader.
Because that's a lightsaber fight I wouldn't mind I'll take my chances in that lightsaber fight. Right? Just wait for him to have to lean against a railing. He'll be like, Luke, hold on a second, Luke. Oh, boy. Hold on. Right? Let me just catch my breath, Luke. Luke. Like, he'll really be breathing. Like, the breathing will change. He'll be like... Suddenly be like... Like, real slow.
He'll need an inhaler to start sounding like the real Darth Vader.
But look, these movies all suck. You know they suck. I know they suck. They rope you in when you're a kid, and you kind of can't get free of it a little bit because it's got some weird hold on you. But every other party you knows this is terrible.
Mm.
Right?
I guess so.
You don't like these Star Wars. Did you like, did you see Solo?
I did.
I enjoyed Solo. You know why? Because it didn't have any of the Force in it. Didn't have any of that boring stuff.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, I thought it was fun. You know, I know people were kind of putting it down and it didn't do, like, you know, as big as a Star Wars movie typically does, but for what it was worth, you know, it was like, okay.
Look, now the Star Wars can say this thing. They'd be like, oh, there's an underrated Star Wars movie. Like, now they have everything. They have the underrated Star Wars movie.
Right.
That 10 years from now, it'd just be like, did you know that when this one came out, it didn't make as much money as the others? Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the worst fan? Who's the worst kind of fan? Who's the worst kind of fan? Star Wars fans?
The one that you can't satisfy ever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would it be? Muppet fans?
I think Muppet fans are
the opposite. I think Muppet fans, it'll take anything.
Yeah, basically, at this point, we're kind of starving for content.
Yeah, at this point, you do give a plate full of slop as long as it's felt-colored, right? As long as it's like the gruel on top of a thing of purple felt, people will eat it up. Not to say purple like Wally Wacky, man. It's not him.
I was going to say.
No, he's fine. He's Muppet fans will take any abuse. And they'll say thank you.
Yeah, basically.
But who's the worst? Which fans are the biggest ingrates?
I mean, right now, I'd say a portion of the Star Wars fandom. Not all of them, because I think some people are, you know, good fans. Mm-hmm. But then the bad ones are they're the worst.
Yeah, they really showed everybody. It was really a real impressive stand that now there'll be less Star Wars movies because of the brave fight that these heroes demonstrated, that they get less of the thing they love because they
angry because a woman is in charge.
Because they took a stand. They took a stand, and they always blame, oh, it's Catherine, whatever. Look, all these movies are terrible. They're all guilty. Anybody who throws their name on one of those things is guilty of making garbage. Right? The only two good characters in the whole thing, I figured it out. The only two I like, maybe not the only two good, the only ones I like are R2-D2 and Chewbacca. Mm-hmm. What do they both have in common? They don't talk!
They don't talk?
Yeah. One beeps and one grunts.
My favorite was always Max Rebo.
Man, who's that now?
The blue elephant-looking dude at Jabba's palace.
Ugh. Come on.
When I was a kid, you know, I grew up with, Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, so what, you want the keyboard toys. Yeah, so you root for the keyboard player.
I like elephants a lot. My favorite animal.
What about the dude who was with Lando, that guy?
Lobot?
Yeah, Lobot. What about... No, not Lobot. The guy piloting the thing at the end when they're flying.
Oh, no, I know. I'm actually friends with the guy who...
You're friends with him? You know him?
Yeah, he actually works with the Muppets, too.
Wait. The guy from Star Wars who helped blow up the 8th Death Star.
Right, the co-pilot in the second...
Yes. So after he, like, served in the Space Army, he went and worked with the Muppets?
Well, he's had a long and varied career doing all sorts of stuff on those type of movies.
So he worked. So what's his name now?
His name is Mike Quinn. He's a great guy. He helped get me backstage at the Hollywood Bowl.
That's not the name of the character. That's not the name of the guy.
Oh, Mike Quinn is the real human. The character is Nine Numb.
Nine Numb. So they both, Mike Quinn and Nine Numb, both do Muppets now?
Mike Quinn is the performer of Nine Numb.
I'm confused. Get off my phone. Enough of that. Best show. Enough of the Abbott and Costello routine. Best show.
Hey. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
This is Steven from West Virginia.
Steven, what's up?
How you doing?
Final call. What's up, Steven?
Wow. Not much. I rushed home as fast as I could after work.
You
so
did
I could
it.
Catch the best show.
You did it, Steven.
Thank you. Thank you for extending the window.
Yeah.
It wasn't for me. It was for that awesome Z-Man interview.
Yes. Z-Man kept it going. Please don't say interview. Makes it...
Sorry. I'm sorry.
So what do you got? What do you got for me, buddy?
I'm going to give the Pardo a shot, man.
Let's hear it.
Let's do it. All right.
Musical guest. Infectious grooves.
Uh-huh. Keep going.
And your host, John Malkovich.
All right. Very good.
Thank you.
It was good. A lot of good people tonight, huh, Mike? He's gone. He left. Man, they don't stick around. Here he is. What's up? I'm saying how is that tonight was a fun show, huh?
It was.
Look, this guy, now I got this guy Nicholas Gazin's teeing off on me because he's saying keep making fun of these kids' movies. Look, I can't make anybody happy. Right?
Only make yourself happy.
Wait, hold on. Hold on a second, Mark. Hold
on. Is that a new thing in the background?
What? Yeah, that's a conversation we can have off air, Mike. We don't need to talk about the foam behind me. Say that again, Mike.
About the baffle?
No, not about the baffle. About the making people happy.
Yeah, you can only try and make yourself happy.
Okay, say it again.
You can only try and make yourself happy.
You can only try and make yourself happy, yeah. Huh? Yeah, because life's hard, huh?
Yeah, some people are better at it than others.
Of making themselves happy?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that something you're good at?
No.
You're not good at making yourself happy, eh?
Not at all. Oh, here we go. My music.
Because it's hard, right?
Yeah, it's hard.
Try to make yourself happy.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how to do it.
No.
It's not like you have a lot of practice in it. Say something. Come on, help me. The love of God, help me.
Yeah. I think it may be genetic, too.
You mean being happy?
Yeah, I think some people are just born with a happy gene.
Some people are born with it. What are the people who don't have it? What are they born with?
They're born with the struggling gene.
That everything's a struggle?
Yeah.
You know, I get you. Sometimes it is always a struggle, huh?
You can have moments of happiness.
Yeah.
They're usually brief, fleeting.
Yeah. But when you have those moments of happiness and you feel it going away, Mike, you know what?
Yeah.
You say to yourself, you say, you're here now, you might go away, but you're here right now. I'm going to hold on to you and I'm going to remember what you feel like. I'm allowed to be happy. These other people, they're happy. I look on this Instagram, I see them on the beach. Everybody's on the beach. Does everybody live on the beach now? When did that happen?
Yeah.
So you know what? Maybe I'm not on the beach, but you know what? I got a beach in my heart. I'm allowed to go to the beach in my head.
And you're not going home with sand in your crack.
That's okay. You're not going home with sand in your crack. That's a fair point. But you know what? You get the beaches wherever you are. You're at the beach. You close your eyes, suddenly you're at the beach.
Yeah.
What do you think of when you think of the beach, Mike?
Blistering sunburn.
Okay, that's not exactly the road I was trying to go down with this, but I'll take it. But, you know, you get the sunburn because you enjoy being out in the sun and having a nice time. So you are out in the sun, you have a nice time. And look, maybe slobs like you and slobs like me, Mike, we don't get to go to the beach the way everybody else does. But you know what? We get to go. We close our eyes and we're at the beach and we open our eyes and we're back in the real world. And we're out there, and we got slobs like me and slobs like Mike, we're trying to make a difference, right, Mike?
Yeah, we are.
We're trying to change the world one slob at a time, doing everything we can. Say something.
And no sand in our cracks.
And no sand in our cracks. There we go. That's a moment of triumph if there ever was one. That's right, and that's what we do. Loving it. That show will be back next week. A place.
with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence.
Go Skrillex, rabbit horn!
In restless dreams I walked alone.
We belong dead.
Narrow streets of cobblestone.
We belong dead.
Beneath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light, I slipped the night and touched the sound.
but you gotta hear this Paige boot sound.
Just tell me about it. I've gotta hear it.
It's raging.
Raging. Endless, Matt. I was there.
Total tear, man.
Dude, it's one of the greatest displays of guitar in the history of rock and roll.
I know, man.
And I was there.
I didn't dose that night, but a lot of my friends were on acid that night.
Oh, I was flipping. I was flipping on doses.
Yeah.
I was out of control on acid. Dude, it was the insane. It was beyond words insane.
All right, stack that against Robin Trower at the Coach House.
Honestly?
Yeah.
Honestly, Robin, here's what it is. I'll just tell you right now. Richie Blackmore put on the most insane guitar display that I probably will ever see. Warm Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Travers was backing him up. I doubt I will ever see anything close to that. David Gilmour, 83, his solo tour down in Irvine, and also in 87 with Pink Floyd, is second. So you can imagine how hard they went off. And Paige is third. But really, it's hard to say. I caught them all three going off so hard, man. But it's just my own personal style. Blackmore took the cake. Gilly second. Paige third.